Welcome to the Safety Podcast, where we connect the health, safety and environment profession to keep you learning, evolving and having a positive impact. Thanks for taking the time to join us for this episode. Let's get started. Hello again, it's me, your old host, Richard Collins. Never worry, after a few weeks of no production in the Safety Podcast studio, we are back in action, and since last time out, a few significant things have happened, not least of which is that I've taken the leap into the great unknown to commit myself full-time to the Safety Project and my own work, which if you're connected to me on LinkedIn, you may have seen. And of course, that means hopefully that I'll be able to put even more emphasis and focus toward producing useful content for you and us as a community as we progress into 2019 and into next year. So I'm really looking forward to that, and I appreciate all of the encouragement from my really valuable network and you, the listeners. So thank you for that. It really means a lot. We're going to get straight back into it this week with a guest on the show who comes from a very strong career, which began firstly in fire engineering and led more recently towards specialising across the globe, actually, and advising on building regulations and policy development. Dr. Brian Ash is joining us to discuss the implications of the policy overhaul that's going through consultation on the back of a review of fire safety and building regulations by Dame Judith Hackett in light of disaster and tragedy that happened with Grenfell. And Dame Judith Hackett, of course, is a former head of the Health and Safety Executive. I thought this was an interesting topic that could have major cross-sector ramifications. And if I'm very honest, I haven't kept up to speed on it. So here we go. We'll join Brian and hopefully he can fill us in. Brian Ash, thank you for coming on to the Safety Podcast today to join us. It's really good to have you on the show.
Pleasure, Richard.
So for our audience, Brian, I've already said to them, you know, about some of your expertise, and you come on today to talk to us about the massive transformation that appears to be happening with the building regulations and fire safety as a result of the Grenfell disaster primarily. Dame Judith Hackett obviously come out with an independent review of the building regs and fire safety. And with your expertise, I wanted to pick your brains a bit for our audience. And obviously we have a lot of health and safety professionals that listen to the show. Just to give us an idea of what your background is to contextualize this, can you tell us where your experience actually comes from and what you've been up to over the last number of years?
No problem, Richard. So my main background is in fire safety engineering. I'm a chartered fire engineer in the UK, and I have about over 20 years experience working in the private industry and with consultants, but also working with various governments around the world. And really, my particular, expertise and experience is in the development and implementation of building codes in particular. So I just thought it would be useful, for your audience just to give a summary of the things that are happening in the space, which are quite significant.
Yes, and since we've been talking, as I was saying to you, how do we look at the review and the resulting proposal that the government's put out recently, and the tagline of that is that they're seeking views on the proposal for radically changing the building regulations and the fire safety system, which intends to put residents' safety at its heart, which is pretty profound, and hopefully we'll get into a bit of the detail around what the impact of these changes might mean. So to kick us off then, with your knowledge of building regulations and policy, can you paint us a picture of where you think all of this has actually stemmed from in the first place?
So when I'm doing this, I'm really not identifying one particular country or jurisdiction. It's more there's been a general trend internationally in this space. So if we start off, probably about 30 years ago, I would say the general building regulatory system in many Western countries was very prescriptive. in that the building standards said, you know, identified that, you know, this is how you build the building. You know, it just gives you prescriptive requirements such as width of doorways, etc. And also the approval process for the building regulations was usually undertaken by local government. So it was the public sector approved the building designs. That was seen as quite onerous and was seen as it took a lot of time. It also didn't really promote innovation. And about 30 years ago, there was a movement to, you know, in the area of microeconomic reform. We're looking to reduce unnecessary regulation and red tape, free up the system, but also to promote innovation and efficiency. So about 30 years ago, there was a move generally to move from prescriptive codes and standards to what they call goal-based or outcomes-based or performance-based building standards. So rather than saying you needed certain widths of doors, for example, the requirements were set that you were to ensure that there was an adequate level of, say, fire safety in the building, or that external cladding should limit the spread of flame. But at the same time, there was also a move to make the approval process contestable, in that it wasn't just the role of local councils or local government to approve designs and construction, that the private sector was brought into that. So these two things came together, I'd say about, you know, a quarter of a century or three decades ago. So that was that major change 30 years ago. And now we are, you know, we've had that system for quite a number of years now, and we're starting to see some issues with that system. And the review in the UK by Dame Judith Hackett really uncovered some of the issues with that system and has recommended changes to the system.
I myself have worked in the construction of buildings and in the operational side of things, but it's interesting to hear your views on the actual building regulations end of it, which I don't, and policy as well, which I don't really have as much knowledge on myself personally. But if you were to ask me, did the UK have a system one, which was the initial system, or the latter one, which you've described, I would have said, actually, my perception is that it was still quite prescriptive, and that's something I've actually written in my notes. Was it not prescriptive enough, you know, initially? But you're saying they moved away from it, and then this sort of creep or latent sort of creeping of deterioration in the control of what they're actually building has been part and parcel of the failures that we're seeing. Is that right?
Well, the building standards themselves, they're, you know, if you take the UK, for example, they have their functional requirements, which are the mandatory requirements which you must meet. But at the same time, the governments produce approved documents in different areas, which are guidance on how to meet the requirements. So often, and this is something that has been realized, that there's many that still believe there is a prescriptive system, but in reality, it's moved to a functional based or a performance based system where the requirements are set at that level. So that's a common a misunderstanding, perception of the system. And don't get me wrong, you know, the move to a more outcomes-based system provided many benefits. You know, it did reduce the cost of buildings. It enabled designers to optimize design. It also promoted innovation, and in reality, some of the buildings we have today, you know, the most innovative buildings, we wouldn't be able to have through a prescriptive system. However, the combination of the contestable certification and the functional based system has created some challenges that will have to be addressed.
So with the likes of Grenfell obviously triggering such a massive change that we're starting to see now in the system, before we actually go into what appears to be changing as regards to the proposals and stuff, what impact can you actually see is it already having on, you know, duty holders, people that are constructing or designing buildings at this stage, and can you actually see that ripple effect already?
Well, I think that, again, I don't want to focus on one particular jurisdiction or country, but it's clear that governments and the community and the industry, there is a concern and perhaps a lack of confidence. So as a result of particular events, and I don't want to just focus on Grenfell, I think Grenfell was really the catalyst for increased scrutiny on the system. And once that occurred, problems started to raise their heads. So as a result of this, what would I say, lack of confidence, people are asking more questions. They're putting more scrutiny into the designs, the products and materials that are used in buildings. So even without any changes on the legislative or regulatory sphere, it is having an impact, and that's flowing from confidence from consumers. You know, the end of the day, the mums and dads that purchase buildings or the institutions that purchase buildings, to the designers, to the approvers, and also the insurance sector as well. So as a result of everything that's happening, confidence is the key here, and confidence has been impacted. And that's, you know, that's where the changes I think will focus. They'll obviously focus on ensuring the level of performance is achieved, but at the same time, this will lift the confidence and improve the confidence in the sector.
Okay, so it's having it's organically impacting the whole sort of supply chain from the client right through to the operators of the buildings already, and that's interesting to know. The government's proposals have pinpointed to say that giving the occupants of buildings confidence that their safety concerns will not be ignored is one of the big issues that they want to address as well. And I suppose that goes for any building, being constructed or designed at the moment, that any clients or anybody involved in that process will want to try and achieve the same thing. As we move forward and these proposals are, you know, the feedback is given to the government and they're developing their new regime, what do you see in terms of, I know they're focusing primarily on high-rise residential buildings as part of this change, but how do you see it in terms of what the future might hold sort of across the board, Brian?
Well, I think that, you know, what you're referring to there is the proposals from the UK government that impact on England, and they're currently out for consultation. And you're right in saying they're trying to focus on what they call, you know, the high rise residential building and other buildings that have vulnerable occupants. But I think one of the key things is that, you know, all of this moves in cycles. So we've had 30 years ago where there was a significant change. And I think we're today at the start of another significant change in the whole building regulatory system. Dame Judith Hackett has raised issues such as competency, conflict of interest, the importance of residents having a say, product testing and certification. So there's numerous elements to this proposal by government. But one of the one of the things as well that they, you know, they're trying to promote, and really this is a role for industry, is that there needs to be a cultural change in the industry that moves from, if you like, just meeting the requirements and no more, to actually inherently having a safety culture, like the safety culture perhaps in the oil and gas industry or the chemical processing industry, where there is an inherent safety culture. And Jane Judith Hackett, who is ex-health and safety executive, has brought that thinking into her recommendations, which have been carried through as proposals for government. So I think, and the reason, you know, it's good to talk today, is that 30 years ago we had a major change. I think we're on the cusp of a major change again.
Looking in the detail of, you know, some of the elements that they're pinpointing again, and Dame Judith Hackett in this instance for the UK has particularly pointed out some elements, such as a golden thread of information on commercial buildings that needs to be held by the duty holder. As you already mentioned, regulation on the construction products in the first place and how they're selected and so on. There's lots of different elements. Can you tell us how, I'm sort of thinking about it from our audience's point of view, you know, if you're a health and safety professional, a facilities manager or any type of duty holder, what might the implications be currently, and is there any way we can be proactive and get ahead of this? And also, do you see that there's going to be any retrospective actions that need to be taken for existing buildings that we may be operating in?
Well, I think the recommendations out of the UK, which cover England, I think one of the main impacts in the short term is, of course, this all has to be brought through and legislated, but for existing buildings that come under this, which are captured by these proposals, there will be a requirement to, you know, ensure and show the regulator that the buildings are safe. So their focus is on the structural safety and fire safety. So I think that, you know, for facility managers, managers of buildings, et cetera, I think this is something that is not far away. And you know, one of the initiatives in the UK is that they have the early adopters, which are starting to adopt these, the thinking behind the proposals at this stage. You know, down the line, whenever, you know, these changes are brought into regulation, it will change the way buildings are designed, constructed, maintained, and occupied. But you know, so there's sort of two phases here. When it comes in, that will impact on the existing buildings that are captured within the definition. But as time goes on, it'll go through the whole design, construct, build, occupy, you know, the process.
Interesting. Actually, one of the points that I've seen as well is that there's going to be quite a focus on the competence of, obviously, in the world of health and safety, the word competence comes up quite a bit, Brian, as you may already be aware. And that's probably something that Judith Hackett has brought across as well. They're saying that whilst this will be regulated more stringently, and there will be more accountability put on the duty holders must be competent to perform their duty to ensure that the buildings are safe. So it'll be interesting to see what form that takes and how you determine someone as being competent and so on. And I guess, you know, from a health and safety professional's point of view, on the positive end, there may be opportunities from that side of things, perhaps.
I think there will be opportunities. I think they're proposing new disciplines, higher levels of competency. I think there will be opportunities. I think in the short term, you know, it's going to be a matter of capacity and whether there's enough people to meet whatever level of competency they set. But I think it's clear from where the government are coming from and from the recommendations of Dame Judith Hackett, competency levels need to be raised. So of course that will bring opportunities, but I think, you know, if we think about it from a macro level in terms of the health of the construction sector and the built environment in general, we need to ensure that we keep building, we keep procuring, and the built environment keeps moving, because at the end of the day it's a real balance. You know, you don't want to set the level so high that we don't have the individuals to actually deliver.
Yeah, absolutely. The market has to be able to deliver, as you say, and I think as part of those competence requirements, they've pinpointed as well that those working on the buildings, you know, must be competent, and that's something that's going to be under scrutiny as well. So there's a lot to think about, and I really appreciate you coming on to give us your view on this. It's something that is obviously very much in the public eye, and as health and safety professionals, we should be keeping abreast of and up to date on. So thanks for coming on the Safety Podcast today to share your expertise with us.
No problem. It's a pleasure, Richard. Thank you.
Good man. Take care.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks once again for joining us for this episode. We really hope you found this content valuable. If you would like to provide us with some feedback, please remember to take a second to review, subscribe, and of course, if you can, share it with anyone who may find it useful. And we'll look forward to you joining us for the next episode. For more help and resources, don't forget that you can visit us at safety.com. Until next time, good luck.